Welcome to The Lorraine Murphy Show. If you're anything like me, you want a successful, abundant business, epic energy, a growth mindset, vibrant health, and beautiful relationships. And this podcast sets out to help us achieve all of that together. I've been in the entrepreneurship arena for almost a decade now and have mentored hundreds of other business owners. So I know what goes on behind the scenes and what it takes to succeed. This podcast shares the tips, tricks, learnings, and lessons I lean on in order to blend the different facets of my life as an entrepreneur, author, wife, and mama to two gorgeous little humans. Let's jump in to today's episode. Hello, and welcome to this week's episode of The Lorraine Murphy Show. It is wonderful to have you joining me this week. I am very excited because this week I've got another mentee case file. So if you're planning on taking your side hustle to full-time hustle, this episode is an absolute must listen to for you. Before I dive into the episode though this week, I wanted to flag that there's going to be a change of rhythm with the podcast for the rest of the year. As I'm recording this, first of all, got the house to myself, which is very exciting. It happens very, very, very rarely these days. Wilder's out for a walk with his wonderful nanny. Wade is at a dentist appointment and Lexi is at school. And full transparency, as I like to be with you beautiful listeners, that just this week I've really realized that there's just too much. Life is just a bit too full right now. And I've been really comparing this period, so Wilder will be 4 months old next week, and I've been really comparing this period to the same period when Lexi was this age. And at this point, I was back in my business, which was my agency model, 3 days a week, and I was working 1 day a week on my Lorraine Murphy projects as well. And I've been really saying, you know, why does this feel like too much right now? Because, you know, Wilder's the same age and you're the same person. So why are you feeling overwhelmed with the level of commitments, the amount of commitments that you have specifically in your business right now? Because if you listened to one of the earlier episodes in the season, or you've been following along on Instagram or on email, I've really been very, very intentional about the fact that I'm working 2.5 days a week for this season in our life as a family and as a business owner. And that's been really hard to do. So when I sat down at the start of September, as I was coming back from Babyland and mapped out, you know, all the different things that I wanted to do and the amount of time that each of them was going to take, it was already, I felt I was going to have to be ruthlessly efficient. And I feel like things are taking more time than we had forecast and expected to have. And that's with pushing back a major launch, 2 major launches actually this side of Christmas into the early next year. And yeah, it's just felt like a lot. And I want to share where I'm at right now, because I think I work with a lot of women as mentees or in my Love Club community or my mastermind, and you know, I workshop this exact problem with them, and I'm just feeling overwhelmed. I feel like there's just too much on right now, and my measure for when I'm in that over-calibrated space, which is what my wonderful kinesiologist Jackie calls it, is just that emotional, you're just overly emotional, and emotional, like feeling very, not very, as in I'm nowhere near, thankfully, being depressed, because I have been there and I have dealt with that particular beast in the past, but just a sense of just a bit emotional and being snappier than normal. And it's just, it's not me. And I feel like I'm giving it my all in those 2.5 work days. Like, they are full days. Last Thursday, I had 6 different calls or mentoring sessions, and I'm very high functioning in terms of how I work. So I will show up for my mentees and I'll hold the space and I'll get, you know, I'll make everything happen that I'm meant to be making happen. But the shock absorber for that, making it all happen within my workday, is my own energy and the family time. So I've been trying to create like decompression time where on my last hour of my working week on a Thursday, I go for a walk. And yeah, there's just been task creep into that time, and that hour isn't, it's not enough, I think, to decompress from 2.5 very, very intense days. So this is not a woe is me story, I promise. I just wanted to share transparently where things are at. It's been a really, really, really big adjustment coming back into coming back into baby land, like coming back into having a baby as opposed to a 4-year-old. And it's been a big adjustment for our family. It's been a big adjustment for myself and Wade, and probably most especially for Lexi. And as I said, I've been really comparing myself back at this stage with Lexi, with this stage with Wilder, and going, Lorraine, like, why is this challenging? You know, you're doing a day and a half less than what you were doing. Is that right? A day and a half less than what you were doing with Lexi. And yet it feels overwhelming. And I just had some realizations this morning. I was saying, first of all, like, Lexi slept through from 6 weeks. She was a unicorn baby in that sense, a unicorn sleeping baby. So I was getting full night sleep from 6 weeks with Lexi, and Wilder's still up once or twice a night. So I think that's a big factor. The second factor, I think, is that we have another child now, which we didn't have when we had Lexi. And oh, the bird sounds beautiful outside. And that's a lot, you know. 4-year-olds are, they like to talk a lot, and she's had some big feelings about school, and set to the whole backdrop of a pandemic and her classroom being tossed around and so on. So that's been a big change. And the other difference that I realized this morning was that when I went back into my first business after having Lexi, I had a full team who'd been running the show for 4 months, 4.5 months until I came back in. And this business is different. This business requires me to hold space for mentees. It requires me to be actively selling, and it requires me to create a lot of content, which I wasn't creating back in the Remarkables Group days. So again, this isn't woe is me. It's just me having some realizations around, okay, why does this not feel like it's working like it felt like it was working with Lexi 4 years ago? So my big intention as of the last kind of 24 hours is to really create some spaciousness, to create some more spaciousness around my mentee. So the amazing women who are working with me on their own personal journeys of transformation and success, and more abundance and more peace and more clarity for them. And also to create more spaciousness for our family. This is probably the last time that we will have a baby this small. And I just, it makes me feel sick to my stomach at the idea that in a few months' time, I might look back and go, wow, you just rushed that, you know, feeding Wilder and handing him back to the nanny to get onto your next call. Like, that's not what I want for this season in our life. So really creating some more spaciousness. And I think I'm actually trying to read my notes here because I made some notes that I wanted to touch on in this intro. So it's creating some spaciousness, basically, and creating more space for the business and the beautiful women who entrust me so generously with their lives, and also for our family and for myself. You know, the fact that I'm sitting here in the house on my own for the first time in weeks makes me realize just how little time I actually have to myself. So I don't have like a clear plan right now. I've set some intentions. I've actually made a list. I'm just looking at my notebook here. I've made a list of what's not working and how I can make it work better. So for example, I said what's not working is my work days are too intense. So what I'm going to do about that is to have a maximum of 4 hours of talking per day, whether that's podcast interviews or mentoring. And then, there's a list. I've got like 12 things and I've got some associated actions with that. So I feel like this is time now for me to come back to my own tools, which is, for example, my perfect week exercise. So I know what I don't want my week to look like. So it's like, okay, what do you want it to look like? And working through that with Wade, you know, we have little to no time, him and I, as well. So creating some windows whereby we can have a weekly date together, probably during the day when we don't have a little 4-year-old who likes to be involved in every single conversation. That would be such a luxury. Yes. So back to my point of sharing this with you right now is, first of all, that if you are feeling that lack of spaciousness in your life, or you're feeling overwhelmed, and I've had so many people message me over the last couple of months saying, you're on fire, you're superwoman, you're unstoppable, how are you making all this happen? And I'm making it happen, but I just want to be really clear that it's not easy. And there's, as my very, very wise and beautiful friend Jules Masters said, you know, everything has a price. So the price of bringing this book into the world, for example, that's coming out in January, the price of that is there's other things in my business that aren't getting the focus. For example, my Instagram content, like, my God, so disorganized. There is no strategy there whatsoever right now, which will be changing in the next few weeks. But yeah, everything has a price, and I'm feeling the price myself just these last couple of days. Just like I said, just that emotion and just that over-calibrated feeling. So spaciousness comes from a few different things I'm going to do. First of all, I'm going to switch this podcast to every fortnight for the rest of the year. I have been working so hard behind the scenes on recording awesome interviews. I think this is the most interviews I've had of any season other than the very, very first season. And I'm really, really excited to bring those interviews to you. Obviously, we've had quite a few go live already, so there's more to come. So that just means that it's just one container that's filled, that the podcast is pretty much locked and loaded for the end, till the end of the year. I may pop in and do a bonus episode at some point, but for now, I just feel it's giving me peace. And I think this is what I'm seeking right now in life and business. And I think probably you listening are as well, is just to find peace. And that gives me a lot of peace knowing that the podcast is locked and loaded to the end of the year. So I'll be switching to fortnightly from this week, and there'll be some other kind of small tweaks that I'll make behind the scenes that, yeah, I'll no doubt I'll share on some sherry Instagram stories over the next few weeks as well. So just want to say I am completely fine. I think what I have learned in my career, and particularly in my experience with my mental health a few years ago, is I know that the little red flags when I'm starting to get into that overwhelmed state. And thankfully, I know the tools to get myself back to that place of peace. One of my friends, Peter Kelly, shared a beautiful post yesterday on Instagram, and she talked about homeostasis. I'm seeking homeostasis right now. And so I'm completely fine. And I'm really, really excited to be bringing you the book, bringing you the podcast episodes. And I just need to, just dial it back a little bit for the next few months. And just to find that, as Peter said, that homeostasis. So that was a little personal update before I dive into this week's episode. And I'm really excited to bring you another mentee case file. And I knew I had to interview Bridget Johns because the whole goal around moving a side hustle, first of all, starting a side hustle and then transitioning that side hustle into full-time hustle, is a really big goal that I see with a lot of my community. So I knew when I was putting together this season, and I was interviewing mentees about their own personal stories and what the changes that they've created in their life and the goals that they've achieved, I knew I had to ask Bridget, because she's so, as you will hear very soon, she is incredibly articulate, and she has just done, it's a textbook how she has managed her transition into transitioning her side hustle into a full-time hustle. So who is Bridget? Bridget is a declutter coach who helps her clients declutter their homes, phones, calendars, and minds via her business, Be Simply Free. And Bridget and I worked together to establish her nascent side hustle. It was very, 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 very early days when we started working together. And we worked together to establish it as a viable business that she could grow in order to step out of her public service career, which was her previous life before she stepped into the full-time hustle of the business. So if you've got a side hustle you've been nurturing, this episode, you will get a lot from this episode, I promise you. In our chat, Bridget shares a background of her career to date, where her side hustle was at prior to our first session together, what the tipping point was for her to up the ante on establishing a viable side hustle. And I've really seen this with a number of mentees where they've got the side hustle is bubbling away almost on the back burner, and something happens in their life that's like, okay, nah, this is what I want to make happen now. We also talk about the key question she asked herself to unlock the motivation to make the change from side hustle to full-time hustle, the first steps she took towards making those changes happen, the factors she took into account when reducing and also restructuring her government role, what her business looks like now, the biggest learnings she's had on this journey, and she's incredibly generous with these learnings and honest with these, the next horizon she's working towards in her now full-time hustle, and also the advice she wants to pass on to other side hustlers aiming to do what she has done. And of course, it would be neglectful of me not to ask her biggest declutter tip while I had the access to her clever brain. So she shares her biggest declutter tip, which is a really, really, really good one. So let's dive in to myself and Bridget's chat this week. Well, hello, Bridget Johns. Welcome to my show.
Thank you. I'm happy to be back.
Oh, of course, because you've been here before. So what was that for? It was how to clear the stuff, wasn't it? It was part of Get Remarkably Organized, my program. Yeah.
Yes,
that was so good. Thank you. You're such a pro. So yeah, I know we'll have just as pro an experience this time around. So thank you for doing this.
No worries.
So Bridget, of course we need to be clear. I remember when you came to my event in Adelaide all those years ago and you were like, my name is Bridget Johns. I was like, Bridget Jones? It's Bridget Johns. Yes. And can you tell us a little bit about you? So for anyone who didn't get to listen to your first podcast chat with me, can you give us a little background to you, your career and our history together before we kick in?
No worries. So I'm Bridget Johns, and I am a declutter coach and life organizer, and my business is now Be Simply Free. But I was never supposed to be a business owner. I thought I would be a career public servant, and I started with a food science degree back 16 plus years ago, and I also never expected to be a country girl. So I finished a uni degree. It's sort of a jack of all trades, a food science and technology degree, which was chemistry, biology, physics, statistics, wine marketing, animal husbandry.
That's amazing.
Science of producing food and keeping food packaged safely. So that was my degree.
That sounds fascinating, Bridget.
And I thought I'd move to Sydney or Melbourne to progress that career, but I got a job on the York Peninsula of South Australia just before I graduated my degree. So I was a food industry development officer, which is about 2.5 hours from Adelaide, where I'm from. And I thought I'd do a year or two stint in the country and then move interstate or over to London or anywhere international. But fate would have other plans for me, and I met my now husband 3 months into the role, and we've been happily married for 11 years, and we've got a 9 and 8 year old 9 year old son and 8 year old daughter. So when I realized that my life was going to be in the country, I broadened my skill set and did my master's of business admin, studied a diploma in positive psychology and well-being, community development, career development, all the things. I am a lover of learning. So
you really are. Yeah. I admire that so much in you, Bridget. You really are. Your constant hunger for learning. Yeah. And you know what I love about you as well? There's so many people who go to seminars or do the coaching or sign up for the programs and they don't apply it. You know, people, I call them seminar junkies, where they just keep learning, but don't actually apply it. And what I love about you is you actively apply what you learn.
Yeah.
Because I really think we can all be absorbing the information, but really it's not really worth much unless we're applying it. And I think that's something you do so beautifully.
Yeah. So I've always worked in government, so state government and regional development roles in economic development, wellbeing and engagement and issues in education, workforce development, and my last stint was in export and investment projects. So that's where my career started, and I thought it would continue on for another 20 plus years. But in 2019, I'd moved into a new role with the change of government, and we had a machinery of government change, which meant they could move us from one area to another. So I was moved from workforce and skills to export, and it just wasn't the right fit for me. My skills are transferable and I could do the work in project management, but I wasn't loving the role. So after a few trips to Adelaide and lots of tears, I sort of thought, if time and money were no object, what would I do? And that's when the idea of being a professional organizer came to the forefront. I'd been dabbling in that and do it in my personal life. So that was May 2019. And I started building Be Simply Free from then, and my government contract finished June 2020. So I had a bit of time to work on that, but I am happily now a professional organizer and grant writer. So I've built my business Be Simply Free with your support. So Be Simply Free didn't exist before we started working together.
So cool. You put that so articulately. I'm so impressed. So I think, and the reason I was really keen to have you on as what I call these mentee case files over this season, which is all about business, is so many people have an idea and maybe they've started the kind of the early days, baby steps of creating a side hustle. And then the side hustle then starts to get some traction. They realize how much they love it. And then they want to make it the main hustle. And I think you are such a brilliant case study for someone who has successfully navigated that path where they had the idea, you had the idea, you were baby steps with it. And then you said, no, this is going to be my thing. But then it wasn't okay, it's going to be my full-time gig and you just quit your job the next day. Like, you've been very, very considered and very intentional about it. So that's what I'd love to step through in this chat, if that's okay with you, how did you do it? Because I know there's going to be probably hundreds of people listening to this episode who are exactly where you were at, where you were in, I know it wasn't corporate, you're in your government job, and you were just saying that this isn't, it's just not lighting me up as much as it used to. And what else would I like to do? And I love that question that you asked yourself. And I think it's a really powerful question, is if time and money were no object, what would you do? And you knew exactly what that was going to be. And are you doing it? So cool.
And it's scary to say that out loud, because a lot of people don't know what a professional organizer is, let alone consider it as a career. So, I'm so grateful to step into the unknown and have lots of support like you and other people around me to bring that to life.
Amazing. Oh, thank you. I love being part of it and love seeing you fly so high. So you and I first met in, so was that 2019 then?
Yeah, so I went to your Baby, You're Remarkable workshop in November 2019. And again, I didn't expect to work with you either. And probably another little tip, it was your beautiful emails. It was your love letters that I've been getting for a little bit beforehand. I'm very strict in my inbox and there's not many businesses that I let in there. And your love letters always added value to my week. And there was one that just the timing worked out perfectly. I was going to be in Adelaide on a Monday because we're from the country 2.5 hours away, and the timing just aligned and I could attend your November workshop. And just got a lot out of that. And then I got a couple more emails from you. I'm like, I think I need the push. I need that external accountability to help bring this to life and get your expertise from someone who was quite a few steps ahead of me, and your love of organizing as well was complimentary.
We bonded. And you know what? How cool is this, Bridget? Because I remember in that room, and one of the goals that you shared with that group was that you wanted to be working on your own business by June. You had the end of financial year. You were like, June 30, 2020, I want to be really on my path towards that. And you're doing it. It's really, really amazing. So when we started working together, can you just share with people what, because of course you and I both know where things were at then. Can you just share how far along the journey you were at that point when we started doing mentoring together?
Yeah. So I never expected to have a business, but I had an Instagram blog called Farmer's Wife Minimalist Life.
I can still see the logo in my mind's eye, you know.
And it was actually came about because I was sharing my organizing tips just on my personal Facebook page, and like, oh, I'm probably boring a few people around that. So I'm like, I'll set up a separate Instagram. So if people want to see my tips on streamlining your life and simplifying, you can see it over on Instagram. So I set that up anonymously, being a state government employee. I didn't have my face.
Oh, it's anonymous. I didn't know that.
So my friends knew who I was, but Bridget wasn't on there. I think I just said my name was B. So it wasn't until after we were working together that we moved it over to Be Simply Free. So Farmer's Wife, Minimalist Life existed there, just sharing my tips on how to simplify. I had nothing. I think I got my ABN after we chatted. And thought of names and things because while I wanted to work on professional organising, I wanted a name that was broad enough to have other services underneath. So I also offer grant writing services, so helping businesses and groups to turn their wish list dreams into fundable projects and find grants to help bring those ideas to reality. So it's sort of business organising as well. So I wanted that broader name so I could have a few different arms under Be Simply Free. So That's where we started working together. I didn't really have my products in order, like how I would work with people one-on-one or if there would be courses and things. So it was pretty much, what are my options? Is how I joined our session
where do
together.
I start?
Help me to work out where to start. There was no logo, there was no website, there was no mailing list. Yeah, so it's really weird to look back and think, that was just under 2 years ago now, and how much has changed.
So much has changed, so much. So what were those next steps? So when we had that first 3-hour intensive session together, what were the immediate next steps? And this is the, don't be concerned about sharing too much detail, because I feel like, as I said, the people who are sitting where you are sitting almost 2 years ago, this is the detail they need. So what were the immediate next steps that you did once you said, okay, I want this to be the hustle? Where did you go from there?
Well, that first 3 hours together, we sat down and mapped out where I wanted to be in that 5 year time and a year time. And I actually found my little sheet.
Did you?
So we caught up on the 16th of December, 2019. And I wrote a note to myself about where I wanted to be on the 16th of December, 2020. I said I wanted to be a business owner with 10 paying clients. And I had 4 media articles. And I've attended a business conference. I have a live website and I know my product costings. So that's where I wanted to be. And yes, I exceeded that quite quickly. And then my little action list was I wanted to pick a name, chat with the accountant about the best setup for my business.
Yes, because we talked about structure. Should you be sole trader, should you be PTO or limited and so on. Yeah. Yep. Just on that actually, what did you end up going with?
I went with the sole trader for the moment and I still am that now. And we'll look at going forward with that and changing to a company if I need to down the track.
Brilliant.
I also had, register the business, having that KISS business plan, the 2-page simple business plan.
Yeah.
Engaging the graphic designer.
KISS is my, what do you call it?
Keep it simple.
No, sorry. I can't remember, where you have the word for when it's, oh my God, my brain. So keep it simple, stupid is KISS. But what do you mean? What I'm saying? Where like KISS, it's a,
really?
Oh, that's driving me crazy. Wade talks in them all the time because he's military. Yeah, the shortened, the summer. Anyway, just ignore me, Bridget. It will come back to me on this call at some stage. So you had your KISS business plan, which is 2-page business plan.
Yep. And then chatting with the briefer graphic designer, briefer website designer, register domain names, choose accounting software, book photographer, map out packages, and start my 2020 reading list.
Brilliant. Look at you.
Yeah. And they were all ticked off during our time together.
That is gold. Well done. And just so to be clear, that was 3 months. You smashed through that list. And I remember.
Yeah, we snuck over to 4 because we caught up in December, but really didn't start, till January. We had that first chat and then extended the gap over January.
Yeah. And I love that you wanted to do that because you said, look, I'm keen. I'm not sure when to start. And then you said, I'd like to get that 3-hour intensive done mid-December because that means then that over Christmas holidays, like my brain could be bubbling, I could be almost like subconsciously working on it.
Yeah.
And that's why it stretched over then because we were obviously on holidays as well. Mm-hmm. So of that list that you just shared, I just love that you've got that level of detail. Of course you do. Thank you. What do you think was the most scary part of that? What was the most challenging or intimidating action on that list?
It was mapping out those packages. I really struggle. Mm. Even now, I'm still working through it, asking people to pay for my services. Being a state government employee, I've always been paid by state government and I offer my services free as such to the people I've worked with and they get amazing value that way. So they don't have to lay out money to work with me. So that's been my biggest challenge and continues to be my challenge, but I'm working through it and it gets easier over the last 2 years, but working out how much I'm worth as one-on-one and coming up with that pyramid of services. What do I offer for free? What is a group program? And what's the one-on-one package premium?
Yeah. And just to explain for anyone listening, the pyramid is a structure I work with where as you move up the pyramid, the value that you're offering to your clients and also the access that your clients have to you is increasing, which is why, as you said, Bridget, your top level of your pyramid is your one-on-one mentoring or coaching. Yeah. That's the very tip. That's max access to you. And it's also the highest revenue.
Yes.
Highest price tag that what you offer in your business. And I think the thing that I just wanted to touch on there, as you said that, Bridget, is that packages and figuring out what your offer is, I mean, that's just constant.
Yeah.
As you said, it does get easier, but you're constantly reviewing things and saying, okay, is this structured? And also, as your business becomes more successful, you want to be charging more as well. So I really see pricing as it's a constantly evolving, fluid process in my business because it just keeps going and keeps growing. Can you touch on the rebrand a bit? Because I feel like that was, from my end, that was a really pivotal time for you because I actually didn't realize at the time that Farmer's Wife Minimalist Life was anonymous at that time. So can you talk to the rebrand? Because I think people get really hung up on, what am I going to call my business? Is this a good brand? And they get really stuck on the logo and it can be a really, really time-consuming, energy-zapping process.
100%.
Can you talk through the rebrand experience? Because I feel like it came to you quite quickly. Because I remember you and I had that 3-hour session on Zoom. Mm-hmm. Oh, no, in my house. Oh, you were in my house. Yeah, because you met Jackie, who's my other mentee.
No, I was on Zoom, and then there's another SA person that came over from
Jocelyn the November. Yeah. I'm getting myself mixed up with all the South Australians. Yeah. And but I remember, like, the next day I was out and about with Lexi, and you texted me an idea for the name of your business. So can you just talk us through the rebrand and how that went for you?
Yes. And for anyone that wants to look, have a look on Instagram. My hashtag now is, or my look on b.simplyfree and scroll back down, and you can see all the old information. I've kept it there for nostalgia.
And I'll pop your Insta handle in the show notes as well.
Yeah. Yeah, so have a look back there. And being a farmer's wife, that's where I got the old name from. But yeah. I even struggle now saying minimalist life. So I didn't want to continue on with that name. It's a struggle to say. And I wanted to sort of to move away from that connotation of just being a farmer's wife, because I'm obviously a lot more than that. Mm-hmm. And I was talking with a friend about what I wanted to do, and we were just like literally brain dumping, getting everything out of my mind. And I just had a flyaway comment that I want to help people to be simply free. And she's like, hold on, what about that as a business name?
Mm, and smart friend.
Yeah. And what I do, I help people to declutter not only their homes, but also their phones, calendars, and minds too, so they can live a life where they are be simply free. So that's where the name came from. And I liked it because it was also quite broad. And as I said, I have the declutter coaching arm and grant writing arm under there as well. So I can do some consultancy work under there as well. And then I have the byline of declutter coaching and life organization when I want to focus on that side of things. And as you said, I was trying to do it all myself. I was trying to make a website on Squarespace and just do my logo and stuff on Canva, but I was spending way too much time doing that. It was a waste of my resources. I was getting caught up in the analysis paralysis of too many choices and not enough making that decision about what it looks like. So it was great to engage Stacey, and Jess. Stacey helped me with the logo design. And then Jess helped me with the website. And because it's all about having less in your life, I wanted quite a simple logo. And if you scroll back, you can see my past logo was quite busy and green, related to the farm, and some work boots and stuff, which is not really me either. So now we've got quite a streamlined logo with just the graphics of Be Simply Free. And I do have a nod to the farm with a little leaf that wraps around the logo. So there's a nod to the past, but also the leaf shows the growth and the change people can make in their life. And you need to plant that seed to grow the new life you want to live. So yeah, there's lots of
multi-level meaning. Love it.
Yeah.
And I think, Bridget, you've probably raised something really, really valuable there, is that particularly as women, we problem solve by talking, particularly to other, especially to other women. So I think something that would be really helpful if someone is listening and they're trying to figure out their name is just talk to people about what you're doing, what it means to you, and just see. I mean, not everyone's going to be blessed to have a smart friend like yours or as a switched on friend who was able to pick that up. But just talking about it and finding the language that you start to use around your business and your brand and your product and service, that will probably start to lubricate lubricate your brain when it starts to figure out what this brand and this name would be. And I think you will speak to this as well, Bridget. I know for me, when I land on a name, whether it was for my first business, the Remarkables Group, or if it's a new book or a program, like I remember when I thought of the name Step Into You for my program, which is now going to be my next book. And it was just a full body yes. Like when I thought of that, I was like, yes. So I think you need to trust your own intuition as well. When you get that full body yes on a name, it's like, go with that. Like that never, ever lies. Did you feel like that would be Simply Free as well?
Yeah, definitely. And I was going to add that it's great to talk to friends as well, but maybe be a bit more picky about who the people you are talking to, because there are some friends that are like, oh, I'm not sure if that's right. But yeah, that gut instinct took over. And I'm like, nope, this is my business. I get to choose what it is. I have to live with it and say it multiple times a day. So this is what I want it to be for me. So yeah, have a few people to bounce ideas off of, but remember that it's your business and your choice in the end.
Yeah, love that. And I think that's where the start of the Mama Bear comes around your brand and you knowing, okay, it's like just like parenting. Like there's some things that people will say about parenting and I go, yeah, cool, that absolutely makes sense. I will take that on board. And there's some people that will say, or it's same people will say something else. I go, nah, that doesn't resonate for me. I'm not going to take that on board. And it's the very same for our brands and our business strategies. It's being able to pick and choose what opinions to take on board. And then always, always, always your North Star is your own inner voice around what is and isn't right for your brand, because we birth these businesses, we birth these brands. And just like with our children, for those of us who are parents, we have an intuitive connection with what that brand is and what it stands for. And yeah. I think you're a really good example of someone who's very, very tuned into your brand and what it should be and what it shouldn't be. You know, when you start to go off brand, you can pull yourself back quite quickly.
Yep.
So I just want to check with the tipping point on upping the ante. So that point where you went, okay, cool, I've been kind of tinkering away with this farmer's wife, minimalist life. God, now I'm struggling to say it. Now that you said it's hard to say, I'm like, oh my God, it is. So you were tipping away. Was that tipping point to up the ante and say, okay, no, I want to make this more mainstream? Was that realizing that you weren't as lit up by your career as you are, the government career?
Yeah, it was thinking that I'd always assumed there was safety in working for state government or working as employee. But it was a real light bulb moment when I thought that as an employee, I only have one person that is making decisions about my career and life. And at any moment, and particularly a government changeover and a machine year government change, that job could be gone, or the actual elements of the job that I liked could be gone. So I always thought being in business, it was scary because you're at the whim of clients deciding to work with you. And what if you don't get clients? But by being an employer, you're still having your own business, you have the choice of working with a whole different group of people. And there's different ways you can make money. But as an employee, there's only one employer and things can change at a moment's notice. So I really took that light bulb moment on and thought, what could that life look like for me? And being risk averse, I decided to take the baby step. So I was working 5 days a week in that government job in May 2019, but knew I had a contract until the end of June. So I still gave my all to my employee job 5 days a week and worked on Be Simply Free in the morning and night. I do get up quite early in the morning. So that was the time that Be Simply Free was worked on, weekends and things like that. But I realized that wasn't sustainable. So I wanted to invest the time into Be Simply Free, particularly when we started working together in December 19 in the lead up to June 2020. Who knew there was a pandemic about to hit us at that stage?
Yeah.
But I was conscious of going and cutting back my hours. So my plan, I decided to cut back to 2 days a week in employee role to have 3 days to work on Be Simply Free. And that seemed like a safe way for me to do it, to have that consistency of income coming in during a pandemic. So I launched the business in March 2020, 2 weeks before we knew what a pandemic was for COVID. Then I worked with some one-on-one clients, and I looked back through my emails and I remember sending you an email saying I've got my first paying client in March.
Yes.
And yes, that gave me the confidence to really invest some more time into Be Simply Free and let go of that expectation of being an employee full time and make some space to bring this baby to life, because you can't do that when you're working, long hours in an employee job. You need to make some space. And I did that gradually to 2 days a week working in an employee job. It snuck up to 3 days when I had the opportunity to work with my local council doing some grant writing consultancy work, which turned into a day a week employee role. But then I had to recalibrate come June 30, 2021. Then I was working 3 days a week as an employee, and I dropped back to two again because I was finding I wasn't looking after myself, and I was stretching my work hours to morning and evening around the employee jobs, and that's not what my decluttered life wanted to look like. So it's all about reevaluating continually. So at the moment, 2 days a week as an employee around school hours, Be Simply Free, working 3 days a week, and I try and leave my weekends for collecting moments, not things, with my family and friends. So
love. So, and I think it's a really good point you've made there, Bridget, that we don't have to say, okay, that's it, I'm quitting my job and I'm done for, you know, forever, I'm working on my side hustle full time. It can be as you say, almost like a 6 monthly shift, so taking a 6 month horizon to it and saying, okay, well, step one, I'm working 5 days a week right now. I want to drop down to 4 days a week, and I've got 1 day to work on my side hustle. And someone who I saw doing that firsthand really, really elegantly was Claire Obeid, who's a friend of mine. She's been on the show a couple of times.
Yes.
She hosts she's hosted the spirituality side of my virtual and in-person retreats. And Claire said to me years ago, I want to be a health coach. And this is before health coaching was a thing. We both worked together in public relations in the same company. And I was like, okay, cool. And then her first step to doing that was to go and study her yoga. She did her yoga teacher training. And then she started doing one day a week in yoga teaching. And then she would do her 4 days in her PR role. And then gradually then as the yoga started to take off and she started to expand into health coaching as well, then the employee days dropped down to three. And she did 2 days of her own thing. And then gradually then it's almost her own hustle, her side hustle, just gradually became the main hustle until she was doing that full time. And she's still doing that now. So I think that's a really good point that you've made, that we don't have to be so black and white about things. Like, that's it, I'm quitting and this is what I'm doing. It can be, okay, for the next 6 months, this is what my business needs. And also, let's call spade spades. This is the money I need for the next six months. You know, things change. If there's private school fees due, or there's a holiday that you want to go on, or our partners are taking a step back, or they're having a quiet few months with their work, then maybe we do need to up the ante in those times. So I think just giving ourselves a bit more flexibility rather than saying it has to be this way. And I think something, and I know you're a fan of Marie Forleo as well, something she talks about a lot is that there's no shame in working to support your side hustle for a time. And I think she said she had three jobs at one point to support her Marie Forleo, which at one point that was her side hustle. And she said the reason for that is that it takes the pressure off your hustle. You know, you don't have to be making every decision going, I need to pay the mortgage, or I need to pay the rent, or I need to buy the kids' shoes. If you can take the pressure off with the paid, inverted commas, reliable income from an employer, then that actually takes the pressure off the side hustle. And it means that maybe it can grow at its own pace, if that makes sense.
Yeah. A key thing for us was working on my budget, or our family budget as well. So being in government, my contracts was normally a year or maximum 2 years. So we were always unsure if my contract was going to roll over. So my income was sort of unstable. So we actually worked really hard, not thinking I was going to start a business, but for the 3 years before I did start the business, to really refine what our budget looked like, focusing more on collecting moments, not things. So we had less stuff in our home, which was a beautiful side bonus there as well. And making space for making sure we had money for holidays to go away and things like that. So I was in a fortunate position that we could really look at our budget and know that if I did step away from a full-time job, there was money there to support us. And we had our 6 months of emergency funds if something happened and I couldn't find another job. But I also put it out there and said to people, I'm looking for a 2 or 3 day a week job my network. And an old colleague actually built a job to suit me. And I was able to, with support from Sarah in the Love Club, I was able to chat with her. And this was the first time I had the opportunity to negotiate a salary. And I was able to say, I'm worth more than that, and this is what I want to be paid. And they said yes. And I'm like, oh my gosh, that is amazing. So I actually negotiated a higher salary in my part-time role than I was getting paid in state government as well. So that was really good to have that bit more of a buffer there as well. And I negotiated school hours as well. So I was really able to say, this is what I want and need for my decluttered life. Can you match that? And luckily they were able to say yes. And I say luckily, but I probably need to own that a bit more. I was very conscious of what I wanted, and I asked for what I wanted and past me might not have. So yeah, ask for what you want.
That's so good. And your husband, was he fully on board the whole time?
Yeah, very, very lucky there. He's been a business owner his whole life with the farm. Obviously, with farm, it's great to have diversity of income because you never know if it's going to rain or not. But he's been a massive cheerleader. I'm so grateful for him, and also my parents as well. They're career public servants. So I think they probably assumed I would stay in state government as well. But I've actually got a little box of all the thank you cards. One of yours is in there as well. And my mum and dad gave me a thank you card. Well, congratulations on leaving the job. You've put all the steps in place to bring your business to life. So that was a beautiful thing.
I just got goosebumps. Yeah. How lovely is that? Because that's the thing. It's scary for parents, and also potentially for partners who've, as you said, I mean, there's probably no more again, inverted commas, reliable job than government. Yeah. You know, you're always going to have a job, but as you very correctly pointed out, it's not necessarily a job that you'll always want if you get moved around internally and between departments. So that's really, really lovely that you had that support, because I think it's very easy for people who love us to infuse fear into it. And it's just coming from a place of concern for you. You know, they don't want to see us fail and get hurt, so to speak. That's amazing. So tell us, what is the Be Simply Free offer right now? So just as we're recording this, how many months have you been doing 2 days? As in 2 days paid and 3 days Be Simply Free?
Since June. So we're at the end of September. July, August, September. 3 months. Yeah.
3 months. Cool. 3 months. So what is the business? What's in the shop of Be Simply Free right now?
So Be Simply Free, I offer a Let's Declutter Your Life package. So that's one-on-one, and we work together fortnightly over 3 months to really go deep into your life and work out what you want your life and home to look like. So people come to me looking to declutter their physical spaces, but the real power comes when they invest in changing their life structure and looking at their calendar and looking at all those expectations other people put on them for what they should be doing in their life. And it's really finding that time to do the things you love. So I love working with people one-on-one over Zoom. So I'm based on a little farm. So I'm in my spare room on a farm, but I can work with women all over Australia and the world. So I really love that. And that's really working on people's mindset. So when we have 3 months together, we can make mindset changes around the reasons people are buying things. Sometimes it's more for that dopamine hit of the purchase rather than the need of having more stuff in our home. So that's my favorite way of working with people. And then I also have a Clear Clutter Find Time online course. So that's where I work with people over 8 weeks and share some pre-recorded videos in a membership site. And then we have an interactive Facebook group and live Q&A sessions with me, and two masterclass guests come in and share their expertise as well. So this round we have someone talking about how to nourish your body through movement and food, and then another masterclass with a personal stylist talking about the best colors to have in our wardrobe, so you can have a simplified wardrobe with less stuff but way more choice. So that's running at the moment, and the next one of those will start in early 2022. So they can jump over the website, join the wait list there. And a new thing that's sort of organically come about is paid workshops. So I'm working with groups that they pay me, and I come into their organization and offer like 2-hour or 3-hour workshop to help people declutter their mind and find more time in their life. So I've done some of those workshops in Adelaide and some over Zoom. And coming full circle, I used to offer parent engagement workshops in my education role, and the person that took over my role has invited me back to be that guest speaker.
Families
organize their family organization and setting the kids up for success and getting kids on board to help help make mornings easier in that school juggle. So
That's so cool, Bridget.
And the final one is grant writing. So that's something I always enjoyed doing in my employee roles, and it sort of organically fell out that people were looking for that support. So I offer consultancy grant writing services. And again, that's with businesses all over Australia. So it's really taking that, if time and money were no object, what would you want to do? And having a think about how that would work in your business, but also in your employee role. So my 2-day-a-week role is as a grants and investment coordinator. So I do grant writing in my employee role, grant writing in my business, and declutter coaching and helping people simplify their lives. So I am very happy with the way things have fallen out. Would have never expected this to be my life from the last 2 years, but it's just a real example of make a plan, but you don't have to exactly stick to it, but taking those baby steps and see which different paths can come off of those opportunities that present themselves.
Love that. And I wanted to ask you, is life like you expected it to be? So when you asked yourself that question all those years ago around what would I do if time and money were no object?
Yeah.
Is it like you expected it to be? Because you've worked so hard to create this life now.
Yeah, and I think it's continual refinement because as it was, my people-pleasing behaviours meant that I upped it to 3 days a week in the employee job. But when I work with clients and talk about stop, focus, notice, so stop doing the same thing over and over again and expect the different result, focus on what the issue is and come up with all the options you can have for solving it, and then notice and write down what those options are and try one. And I think I continually do that in my life as well. I wanted to please my employees and upped it to 3 days a week, but then when I stopped, focused, and noticed, this wasn't the life I wanted to live. So I had to have that hard discussion and drop back and say goodbye to one of those roles. But that discussion was hard, but it was the right thing for me, and they were super supportive of it as well. So I'm grateful for where I am now, and at the moment I'm really enjoying doing some employee work and supporting my local community, and I'm actually seeing changes in my local community with the grant work that I'm being able to support. There's actually been over $3 million in funding in the last year that I've been able to be part of to support.
Bridget, that's life-changing for those people.
Yeah. So,
wow, that's amazing. So and what about the work as a professional organizer or as a declutter coach? Do you feel like that's like you expected it to be? Like, does your day-to-day feel like you thought it would be?
Well, I don't think I really knew what it would look like,
but
I'm absolutely loving it. I connect with my clients between sessions over WhatsApp, so they'll send me the pictures of the spaces they're working on.
Oh, it's so satisfying.
Yeah, I'm their accountability buddy, and I love cheering them on. And most people say their husbands don't care about having an organized pantry or a blank cupboard, and I'm there giving gifts and high fives and saying, woohoo, that's so cool.
Yes.
So it just brings me so much joy to see the changes people are making. And when clients say that their house is calmer, there's less yelling in their home, by having less toys in the toy room, their kids are actually playing deeper with the ones they have, and they can tidy up after themselves, and the whole family's involved, and it's not just the mum's responsibility to tidy up around the home, and other people are taking ownership over having a tidy home, so you've got more time to do the fun things in life. That just brings me so much joy.
So rewarding. Incredible. And I think you've made a good point there, Bridget, is that we can almost have an intuitive sense, or like I like to call it like a soul whisper as to what we want to do. But we are charting our own course. It's not like there's one final destination. And while you're doing your dream business now, it's still evolving. And if I did this interview with you again in 2 months' time, or even maybe 2 years' time, things will have changed again. So I think that's a really good point you've made, that we don't always know exactly what it will be like, because it's ours for the creating as to what that will be.
Yeah.
And what have been your biggest learnings, do you think?
I was having a think about this, and a reminder that fear and excitement are the same emotion, and that it's so scary to step off that career trajectory of being in government or in a safe employee role. But it's worth taking those baby steps, and it seems impossible to start your own business. But what's something you can do today to take a little step to get towards there? That's really helped me across the journey. And sometimes you can think the path is leading in a straight line, but there might be a goat's trail that heads off to the sideway that might be the way that's best for you, and you might end up back on the other path down the track, but you never know where those different opportunities are going to take you. But be open to the fear, and listen to your gut intuition and see if there's some different opportunities you can take on board. And I remember in November 2019, I did a speakeasy course with an organization called Inkling. So I hated public speaking. I would never have stood in front of a group. And to think now that I've run workshops without notes, that I know my stuff, that I'm doing podcast interviews, that I've run Zoom workshops with over 400 people signing up and wanting the information that I'm offering just seems unheard of. And again, that's less than 2 years ago that I recognized something that I wanted to work on. And if I wanted to build a business, particularly around me as the brand, I needed to take steps to build that confidence. And I'm so grateful for those opportunities and linking up with training and also mentors like you and other people I've worked with to really be my cheerleaders and share your expertise with me so I can learn from your mistakes and learnings as well, to make the journey a little bit simpler for me.
Yeah, love that. And that's the thing, isn't it? That, and I think this is as I said, you've such a hunger for learning, but you're also such a brilliant implementer of that learning. But also you're very open to being presented with a different perspective or mm-hmm. a roadmap maybe you hadn't initially considered. And I think that's, and I would definitely say for me in my first business, I was writing in my book recently, I said, I feel like I got done in 5 years in that business what most people would take 15 years to get done. And I think that was directly because I just asked people who had done it already what they did, because it just gave me so many shortcuts. And also, I think you've touched on that whole cheerleading piece. Your mm-hmm. clients need that from you, and you need that from people embarking on your journey, because we need people, I like to think about, standing behind us with the pom-pom saying rah, 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 to keep us on track, because it is scary. And I think as much as you say you don't like risk, I think you do also have quite a high tolerance for change, if that makes sense.
Yes, like
you,
definitely.
Low risk change, I think you like. Sorry, that's not the right way of saying it. I feel like you need a plan to mitigate the risk, if that makes sense. Yeah. So you know there's a risk, you'll have your plan. And if everything goes to absolute shit, I know what I'll do. I think that's you're really, really strong with doing that. So I think that's the thing. It's just having someone who's behind you in your corner when you can say, look, I'm actually feeling really nervous about this, or what do you think about this? And most of the time, we're 90% sure that what we're thinking is the right thing anyway. It's just that extra 10% that just gives us that bit of peace of mind. And I think it's such a lovely full circle thing where me and the other people that you work with provide that to you, and then you provide that to your clients. It's like this lovely ripple effect. It's pretty cool.
And I'm so honest with people as well. Like, I think everyone needs to ask for and accept help in different ways as well. Like the personal stylist, who's my masterclass guest in the current course, she helped me when I was pregnant with Miss 8 and helped me to look at my wardrobe and simplify my wardrobe. And again, asking for help as a professional, getting a stylist to help you, that's something a lot of people haven't heard of, but that saves me so much time. So I hope to do that for other people, to be that safe space that they can chat with confidentially about what's happening in their life, so we can declutter our brains first, so we can make more space, physical space in our homes and time in our calendar to do the things that really light us up.
So good. And to make time at home peaceful, relaxing time, not wading through ankle deep Lego. Lexi's gotten into the Lego, and oh my God, the pain when you stand on the shagging stuff. Oh my God. So annoying.
And I think, side note that, I did have a giggle when my daughter stepped on her Lego that was on the floor. And I'm like, oh gosh, how many times have I done that? And they realize how annoying it is. And now they pack it away a bit better.
Nice. Was it natural consequences?
Yeah.
Conscious parent talks about. What I really love about what you do as well, Bridget, is that I think if we think about a declutter coach, our visual goes to someone who's going to come over and stand over us while we sort through our wardrobe and get rid of stuff. But the point is, if we do that, we'll just go back to the very same situation again if our mindset doesn't shift. Mm-hmm. So I love that you articulate. I mean, from day one, when you and I started working together, you were very clear on that's what your offer was. It wasn't just about helping people offload the crap from their lives. It was about how do they make that a sustainable, lasting.
Yeah. And we need to do that sustainably, not only for ourselves, but for the environment as well. Mm. If we keep purchasing all these new trends all the time, it's the money. We're not having to spend as much as our parents had to do 20 or so years ago, that it's so much cheaper to update everything so quickly. But if we think about how we're getting rid of things, we can't keep buying all these things. And if we can take some time to think consciously of what we want our home to look like, maybe investing a little bit more money in some quality things, we're going to save money in the long run. We're going to save stuff going to landfill in the long run, and we're going to enjoy our spaces so much more. So it's really make that mindset shift, because every time we go to one of those stores, they're designed to make us purchase more things, but we don't need more physical things in our lives. We need more quality time. It doesn't mean we're spending 24/7 with our people around us, but we need to make more space for that quality time with people we love.
Yeah, love that. So what's the next horizon you're working towards now?
Yeah, for this quarter, I'm super excited to be working one-on-one with clients, and really, I probably don't actually talk about it enough, and that's my mindset around sales and not wanting to sell to people. So I'm working on that extensively this quarter, but already I've got two people only in the last week signed up to transform the last quarter of 2021 so they can start 2022 decluttered, because that's when the real transformation happens. We said making that mindset shift. And yeah, as I said, that education department work around the family organisation. I've got three workshops happening in my local community.
Oh, so good on you, Bridget. That's so cool.
That. Yeah. So that's awesome. My focus for 2021 and 2022, we'll have some more Clear, Clutter, Find Time online courses starting. So brilliant. Let me know on my website if you want to be up to date with when they come out.
Perfect. And I'll pop a link to your website and your Insta in the show notes as well. What would you, if someone's sitting there right now, okay, so just visualize Sarah, I'll talk about it, Sarah, and she's sitting in her corporate job or government job, and she's got a side hustle that maybe she's working on the evenings, and maybe if she's got kids after the kids are in bed or on Saturday mornings. What would you say to her right now where she wants to make the swap, she wants this to be her full-time hustle? What's one thing that you reckon our fake Sarah should do?
Yeah, really make that plan of attack. And I think having that support person, with having you in that Power Quarter mentoring, made such a difference to me that I could have continued on. And there have been times when I haven't had a mentor working with me, and that's when my business has really stagnated. So I really encourage people to find and definitely a paid mentor. It's great to have friends and things, but when you put that money behind a relationship, it really helps you to push and charge forward. So can you find an accountability coach or mentor to help you get to the next level? And that really, yeah, what's a baby step to reduce your full-time employee hours down to maybe school hours, or then down to 4 days a week? What plan can you put in place? And sometimes it might mean leaving the job you're doing, because that's, I couldn't have done I built Be Simply Free by reducing my old government job. I had to step away and find a new part-time job that they didn't have the expectation that I would be just cramming full-time hours into less paid hours. So maybe it's stepping off the current job you're doing and find something that really suits your life. And it's scary, but put your feelers out. I literally wrote an email to the new CEO of our council and said, hi, I wasn't actually asking for a job. I was just saying, hi, I write grants and I'd love to help get more grants for our local community. And that led to some consultancy work. And then my job as the grants investment coordinator. So let people know what you're wanting to do. Mm-hmm. And yeah, you never know what opportunities might come out of it.
Yeah, love that. Love that. Now, something I should have asked you, it popped into my head, but then you got onto another interesting tangent and I didn't go there. When you were navigating that, kind of exiting your role and finding more time to spend on Be Simply Free, did you run into any issues with bosses or colleagues and them maybe having an opinion on what you're planning on doing? Or were you quite open about what your plans were?
So being a public servant, I had to get my chief executive of our department to sign off that I had another business, because you can't work for someone else when you're a state government employee without letting your employee know. So yeah, that was fine. And there was just a caveat on there that I wasn't to work with current clients and yeah, like sell to my current clients that were in the export field into declutter coaching. And that was perfectly fine to me, because I wanted to have those the different boundaries. But I also think, because we had that contract that I knew was coming to an end and they were looking to restructure and the jobs were moving to Adelaide, that was a bit of an easier shift for me, because we sort of both knew that the relationship wouldn't go past June 30, but I put 100% into that role while I was in that employee job too. So they were grateful for that as well. So yeah, being honest and saying what I wanted worked well for me. It might not always work in other relationships, but it was worked well for me.
Nice one. The reason I ask is that a few of my community or mentees have had experiences where either the bosses, when they hand in their notice, the boss says, you're never going to, I mean, this is pretty strong, but I've had this experience from people sharing it with me. You know, this is never going to work, or are really planting the seed of doubt in them about what they can or can't go on and achieve. And I remember a guy, when I handed in my notice, it was my last day of the agency I was working with before I went and started the Remarkables group. And he said, so like, what's the plan, Lorraine? His name was Paul. He said, what's the plan? So are you just going to have it 6 months? And when it doesn't work out, you'll just come back and ask for your job back. And it wasn't, the funny thing, he wasn't saying this in a bitchy or negative way. He was genuinely curious about what I was going to do when my business didn't work out.
Yeah. I think that's more of other people's fears though, because I think maybe in his mind that he'd be scared to do what you're doing. So sometimes I do hear things and I sort of just have a giggle, but to myself that, yeah, it's not the path that they would take. And maybe they're showing their fears for me in a way that would scare them if they'd stepped off the career path that I did.
Yeah, I just laughed at the time, but I just thought it was, I think because I was so certain of what I wanted to do and what I knew I could do.
Yeah.
So, I think I just wanted to check in and see what you had experienced on that side of things.
And also, I was really conscious of leaving that relationship well. Like, I sent thank you notes to the CE, my direct line manager, and all my colleagues, because I'm really conscious of, that positive impact and just sharing how those people have supported me in my career to that stage. And I think that's something I definitely take on from you as well, in your books, talking about that, being grateful to other people in your work life as well, and having that, sharing how people have impacted you. So that's some personal thank you cards to all those people in that business. And I got a few emails back saying thanks, that was very kind, because no one really sends hard copy thank you notes anymore.
Yeah, it's such a novelty. It's really quite sad, isn't it? Yeah. Was there anything else you wanted to share before we wrap up?
Probably have a think. If time and money were no object, what would you do? And that was really scary for me to answer. And take some time to think about it. Have it maybe a post-it note somewhere, or as a note in your phone, or a reminder to pop up on your phone for a while, because I didn't know that I would be a professional organizer. But if I think back, that's really what has been something I've always done. I worked in retail and I love spacing out the coat hangers and having less clutter and things like that. So have a think about what you liked as a child, or what you liked growing up before society told you that because I was book smart, I needed to do a professional career. This brings me so much more joy, and it also pays off that I'm getting paid for doing what I love. So what would that be for you?
That's a great question. I think on that, Bridget, as well, when people are asking that question, is give themselves permission to be big and brave. And because it's a scary question. We don't often get to answer that question. And I think it's very easy for the, as Melissa Ambrosini would say, the inner mean girl to kick in and go, you could 100%. Never do that. That's not possible. Or you'd never make money from doing that. So I think asking the question, but also giving yourself permission to hear the answers that might come back.
And write it down.
Not be small. Placement.
I've still got the journal. On the 21st of May, I wrote down 10 dreams I wanted to make happen. And one of them was, I am a professional organizer. So writing it in the headset that I was already that. And it's
already
was so
happened.
Exciting, to be able to say. Now I am a professional organizer.
Amazing, my dear. Thank you so much. I'll pop all the links to all your wonderful stuff in the show notes, and really encourage you to follow Bridget. She's just got a million and one brilliant ideas. And I feel like I'm quite organized, but the stuff you share that I'm like, oh my God, yes, of course, that's genius. And I think it would be remiss of me to let you go without sharing. What's your one biggest declutter tip that people could action today?
What can you do with 1% of your day? So you've got 1,440 minutes in your day. What can you do in 14.4 minutes? So what's a little task you can change? For me, it's going to bed with the kitchen clean. So I'm walking out to a reset kitchen. So starting the day on the fresh, but you've got, we think time is, you don't have time, but what can you do with 1% of your day to make a change?
Yeah, I love that. I know something I'm thinking about right now. We've got a drawer which we call the first aid drawer. It's not the first aid drawer. It's just where all the crap goes. So that's a simple 14-minute task. And I think we underestimate what we can actually get done in 14 minutes as well. So
set,
I think that's
the timer,
a really great tip.
You race yourself quicker, put a song on. Yeah, if you've got a timer going, you seem to do things a lot faster.
Yes, yeah, so true. That is dead so true. Amazing. Thank you so much for joining, my dear. It was, as you know, I just love having you as part of Love Club, but also having the honor of being a one-on-one mentor to you as well. So thank you so much. And just hats off to everything you've achieved. I think you're such an incredible inspiration for not just people who are treading a similar path to you, but just people generally. I think you're just so motivated. As I said, you're hungry to learn. You put that learning into action, and you're just so generous with your learnings as well. So that extends to you being very kind to take this time to share with us on this chat today. So thank you so
much. Apologies if you heard dogs barking. There's 9 people at my house at the moment during school holidays. We're looking after some other kids to help other mums run their life. So apologies if there was a bit of background noise.
I didn't hear a thing. Okay, not a thing. Cool. So yeah, I think we're just lucky that we didn't have a hungry baby who needed to be breastfed in the middle of the interview. We did well. Okay, my dear, cool. I'll leave you back to go to your 9 people. And thank you so much again for joining. That was such a fun chat.
No worries. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
That was my chat with Bridget Johns from Be Simply Free. Thank you so much, Bridget, for sharing your story of transitioning from side hustle to full-time hustle. If you'd like to know more about Bridget, you can go to her website, besimplyfree.com.au. And you can also find her on Instagram. So thank you so much for listening to this week's episode. And little tip, there is something very exciting happening next week in terms of a little sale, maybe a big sale, some new products coming into my online store, which you've been working on behind the scenes. So really excited to bring that to you next week. And just quick reminder that the next episode will be in 2 weeks. So there won't be an episode next week. It'll be in 2 weeks' time as per this new creating spaciousness rhythm that I'm running with to the end of the year. So until our next chat, sending you much love and thank you so much as always for listening. Thank you for being part of this week's episode. It was remarkable to have you. I am always keen to hear your thoughts, questions, ideas, and suggestions for future topics for the podcast. So please get in touch on Instagram. My handle is @LorraineRemarks and through my website, lorrainemurphy.com.au. If you're enjoying what I'm putting out here, please do rate, review, or subscribe to the podcast so more people can find out about it and we can build this special community. Or even better, do all 3. Chat to you next week.